This morning, I want to talk to you. The title of my message is Don't Worry About It. Don't worry about it. If there's one thing that we've been kind of consumed with in a lot of ways is things that we don't feel like we have any control over, or things we do have control over, but it elevates in our anxiety, and if we're not careful, it'll cause depression and a lot of physical issues. And so I want to talk to you this morning about why God doesn't want us to worry, and then what it is that God doesn't want us to worry about. I heard a story this past week about a guy. He had a lot of anxiety. He went to the psychologist, and the psychologist asked him if he played golf. He said yes. He said, well, I want you to go to the golf course and just play a round of golf. And the guy just stopped him right there. He says, I can't. He said, when I play golf, he said, it increases my anxiety because inevitably I'll hit a bad shot and then it'll just elevate. And the psychologist said, no, I want you to do something different this time. He says, whenever you go to the golf course, use an imaginary ball. And take your clubs and you hit that imaginary ball and let it land wherever you want it to hit land. And so the guy, he goes to the golf course and he looks around to see if anybody's looking. He hits and he says, 285 yards right down the fairway. Beautiful shot. He's like, man, this is pretty good. Gets to the next hole and a guy is watching him through the bushes and he walks out and says, what are you doing? And the guy goes, well, he says, I've had a lot of anxiety. And my psychologist told me that I should do this without a ball. And that guy goes, man, he says, I got a lot of worry in my life, too. Do you mind if I join you? And the guy, no, that'd be all right. So they went back to the first hole, and they're just having a great time, hitting great shots and to get on. So they get to the 18th hole. And they both hit off the tee, and they both just go a long ways down there, and they get to the next shot, and the other guy, it was the first guy. The first guy hits the ball, and he says, oh, it's on the green. Oh, it's rolling to the hole. Oh, it's in the hole. And, I mean, he's all excited, the other guy that he picked up, the guy goes, man, that was a good shot, but the problem was that you hit my ball. And he just messed him up again. But a lot of people get messed up by the way other people act or react to their situations, and it's not always healthy. Some people are not always healthy for us. We can worry about our lives, we can worry about our kids, about our parents, about our marriage, about our friends, our job. We can worry about our nation, our politicians. We can worry about what's going on right now in the White House. We can worry about our finances, our bills, retirement. We worry about our future. I'll just say this, that if you want to find something to worry about, I will 100% guarantee you can find something to worry about 100% of the time. So we struggle with worry. It seems that any humanly devised plan only seems to cause more worry. Jesus had an answer to that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And you can look it up on your phone or whatever, but it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is Jesus talking. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. This is Jesus talking. And he said, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or drink or about your body or what you will wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can anyone of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, everybody say the pagans. The pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all of the other things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can you say amen to that? So the reasons we don't worry, and this is the why side, and I think a lot of times when we're preaching, it's important for us to understand why God is saying this. And this is why God doesn't want us to worry. The first point is that worry is dangerous for our health. It's not healthy to worry. Doctors report that 43%, almost half of all adults suffer ill effects from their health by worry and stress. 75% of all primary care physicians are stress-related complaints or disorders. Worry has been linked to all of the leading causes of death. All of the leading causes of death, including heart disease, cancer, lung ailment, and suicide. Someone once said that ulcers are not caused by what you eat, but by what is eating you. The second thing is that worry minimizes our effectiveness. We anticipate the negative so much that it destroys our peace and it minimizes our effectiveness because we're focused on the problem and we're focused on the worry inside of the problem rather than the actual problem ourselves. We worry about that, and we are always, well, what if this happened? What if this? What if? What if? What if? What if seems to be a dead-end street? Can you say amen to that? So someone said, if you're tempted to worry, remember that a raisin was once a happy grape. And that worry tends to shrivel us up and make us ineffective. A survey of students, we've got some students here. It says that in 21 U.S. colleges, it indicated that worriers get the lowest grades, the ones that worry. Worry does not empty, this is what Corrie Ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it empties today of its strengths. The third reason is because it can be sin. Whoa. Worry can take over our lives when we obsess with our worries. We are telling God that we just don't really trust him. God says that he will take care of our needs. Proverbs 55:22. Cast your care on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Someone said, worry is a form of atheism. For it demonstrates a lack of faith and trust in God. Seems kind of harsh. It does seem harsh. But if we believe in God, let me ask you this. Is there a difference between believing in God and actually trusting God? You see, even the demons believe in God. A lot of Christians believe in God and even believe God. But it's not enough just to believe God. I would say that only believing God opens the window for worry. But when we actually trust God, when we really trust him, I'm not saying just in lip service, but I'm saying really trust in him, it's a gift to us. 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Or in other words, in his time, he will lift you up. Cast all your anxieties. How much of our anxiety should we cast on him? all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone whom he may devour. Now, let me tell you something. The devil picks on Christians more than he picks on people who aren't Christians. You know why, right? He's already got them. And he hasn't got you yet. And he'll never get us because we're going to put our faith and our confidence in him. And we're not going to entertain the worry in our lives because he is bigger than any problem or any situation or any circumstance that we can find ourselves in. Can you say amen to that? Chuck Swindoll, he put it this way. He defines worry like this: anything that drains your tank of joy. Something you cannot change, something you are not responsible for, something you are unable to control, something that frightens or torments you and keeps you awake when you should really be asleep. Boy, I hated it at nighttime. When you ever just wake up in the middle of the night worrying about, and your mind gets to rolling and you just can't go to sleep. Ugh, that makes me mad. I hate that. So, I would submit to you that it's not just the things that are not in our control that we worry about, but there's also things in our lives that we do have control over that we worry about, but we don't take control over it because of fear or because of anxiety or because of insecurities in our lives. We want somebody else to handle our problems for us when God's called us to handle our problems for ourselves. Because what you have authority over is what is the problem that you can handle through Christ, because he said, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So when we have issues in our lives that we have authority over, he intends for us to handle those and to take that authority over those issues of life, because that's what brings peace to us. Sometimes we're unwilling to change when it is in our power. Sometimes we just I'm always amused that you remember the guy that was at the pool of Siloam, and he wasn't able to get in, but Jesus asked him a question. Do you remember that? He said, do you want to be well? And I'm like, here he is. He's laying down there like, been there for 30 years. Then Jesus shows up. He says, do you want to be well? He's like, I've been laying around here for 30 years. What do you think? That's how we would answer, right? But Jesus got down to the core values of something. Sometimes we just want attention. And we want people to feel sorry for us. And we want to be the center of attention. And we don't really want to be well. We just want attention. Do you want to be well? It's a good question, isn't it? But you see, anxiety comes with that illness. Anxiety and worry, because you can lay there and worry, or you can get up and do something about it. That must be for somebody, because I didn't do that in the first service. Our word worry comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word that means to choke or strangle. You think about it. What does worry do? It choked. In the parable of the sower, Jesus tells about the seed that fell among the thorns and choked the plants to death. Worry can literally choke the life out of us. In Matthew 13:22, it says the seed falling among the thorns, referring to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The worries of this life, it doesn't say that wealth choked the word out. It says the deceitfulness of wealth. I would submit that 99.9% of everybody in this room, by the world standard, is pretty wealthy. We're pretty blessed, aren't we? But you see, if we're not careful, we'll buy into the deceitfulness of wealth, and the worry and over keeping that wealth will strangle us because it's a deceitful thing. It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's all it's asking is like, who's your God? That's all it's asking. So what is the difference between worry and concerns? It's a good question, isn't it? Okay. It's okay to be concerned about some things like your cholesterol. Say you got cholesterol. And then you need to take some steps to reduce it as watching your diet and exercising. It's not saying worry about your cholesterol and just worry. He's saying do something about your cholesterol. It doesn't do any good just to worry about it, but it does everything. It really helps you. If you eat and exercise, it's okay to be concerned about your child who is misbehaving and maybe is disrespectful, then to take prudent action and administer discipline. Don't worry about your child. Oh, I wish my kid was more respectful and I wish he might. Well, do something about it. Don't just worry about it. Of course, I will say this, if your child is an adult child, sometimes all you can do is pray for them. But you do what you can do, and then you leave it to God. You don't keep... Okay. It's okay to buy insurance or to save for college or retirement. There's a big difference between concern and worry. Concern focuses on probable events that we can do something about and take action. Worry focuses on improbable events or sometimes actual events we have absolutely no authority or power over, and it's out of our hands. Therefore, we do nothing but worry. Worrying never is good at any time. And I would just challenge you, next time you say, well, I'm just worried about that. I mean, we say that, don't we? I would just challenge you to realize that that's not a good statement. Because worrying is, the fourth thing is it just accomplishes nothing. Jesus says that it's a waste of our time, that we can't change anything by worrying. Worrying doesn't do any good. He emphatically points out in Matthew 6:27, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? So there's five things that Jesus tells us not to get overly concerned about. This is the what. That's the why. This is the what. The what is that Jesus said, don't worry about your finances. He doesn't say don't take care of them. He's not saying that. He said just don't worry about them. He says do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust, vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. One of the third most common fear that Americans have is the fear of financial failure. What if we can't pay off the credit cards? The way to stop worrying about your credit card is not to overspend on your credit card. What if the car breaks down? What if my investments collapse? What if I lose my job? They can be legitimate concerns, but they can also be obsessive fears that can cripple you if they take a hold of you. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your treasure can be in your treasures, or your treasure can be in your relationship with God. And if your treasure's in your treasure, I promise you, you're going to get to worrying about it. Be good stewards of what God's blessed you with and don't worry about it. Jesus says, don't worry about food. I think it's interesting, even in our culture today, that we have food insecurity, and we help our kids in Montgomery schools pay for some of their lunches and stuff. And we've done a lot of things through the what used to, it was the Lone Star Beef Program, or when we would butcher the steers and give hamburgers, we renamed it Three Cross Meat because we're giving away different kinds of meat. But there's a lot of people that get help because we, the church, have prioritized feeding the physical people so we can get to the spiritual person. So it says, don't worry about it. Some of us have plenty to eat and still worry about our food. Stay with me. We're worried about too much fat, too much cholesterol. Aren't you glad you came to church? Too many carbohydrates and too much sugar. Too many calories and too much junk food. The point I'm trying to make is whether we have little to eat or whether we have plenty to eat, we still shouldn't worry about food. Just be a good steward of what God's blessed you with. Jesus says, don't worry about fitness. Some of y'all go, oh, I'm so glad he said that. He's not saying don't take care of yourself. He's just saying don't worry about it. So one of the top-selling videos in America today is exercise videos. And you got the deal, look in the mirror. You know, they got all kinds of, and so what do? We buy all these videos and we have fitness centers that we don't go to. We buy the exercise equipment that we hang our clothes on and takes up space in our bedrooms and our basements and garages. Don't get me wrong. Jesus isn't saying don't exercise and don't eat right. In fact, some of us really need to pay closer attention to that. But what he is saying is don't exalt your flesh over your spirit. Don't get so consumed with your body that you are not faithful to the spirit side of yourself. Too many times we focus too much on ourselves physically when we need to focus more on ourselves spiritually. Can you say amen to that? That's a good point. Fourth, Jesus says, don't worry about fashion. I think it's funny, and not to pick on you ladies, but I'm going to. It's like you walk into the closet, and you got hangers of closet, and you walk in, I don't have anything to wear. I'm like, worrying about, I didn't make this stuff up. I mean, Jesus talked about, y'all like, oh, I'm glad you don't have any tomatoes right now. We still worry about what we're going to wear. Is it the right style? Is it the right brand? Do my clothes match? Does this outfit make me look fat? Listen, ladies, please don't ask that question unless you really want to hear the answer. And all the men said, some of the men said, the rest of them are chickens. Don't make me look fat. And on we go. And Jesus said we shouldn't get hung up on our clothes. Listen, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We can't get hung up on what we eat or what we. It's so much that we. There's people that are so obsessed with themselves physically and what they wear and everything that they don't take care of their spiritual self. That's all Jesus is saying here. I didn't mean to step on anybody's toes. I'm going to move on. So if you're offended, this is a great opportunity to practice forgiveness. Fifth, Jesus says, don't worry about our future. A lot of people are worried about getting old. About the future. We don't know what the future. You can't do anything about the future. You can just do something about today. You can prepare for the future. But there's, I mean, like, we're going to, like, probably get some wrinkles on us. And there's going to be some things physically that kind of fall apart. And that we don't have a lot of control over that. And see, we can't get so consumed with ourselves and so focused on the deterioration of our bodies that we forget to put our faith and our confidence in Jesus in this process. I mean, I saw a commercial there. He said, in the commercial that's like, we know you don't have any hair, and we know you're insecure because you don't have any hair. I'm like, I'm not insecure because I don't have no hair. I'm like, all I need is a bar of soap and a wash rag, and I'm good. But they're assuming, and so they try to sell you, and they try to make you feel insecure and worry about, oh, I'm not going to be accepted. I'm not going to get my promotion at my job if I don't have hair. We should try working harder. That would get the promotion probably. So how do we overcome worry? I'm going to wrap up this wonderful present. First, Jesus says that if you want to effectively win over worry, you have to develop an eternal perspective. My dad said something years ago, and it stuck with me all my life. Whenever we have issues in life, we have things going on in our lives, and we all have those things that happen. He said, in every situation, we should ask ourselves, what difference will it make 100 years from now? And when we have that eternal perspective, so many things that we prioritize and we put so much weight in, many times we forget all about them within a month or two, a year. It's like we don't even remember them. What God's telling us is to keep an eternal perspective, and that will help you not to worry, to look at that thing and know that God's helped you through your problems in the past. And he's walked through your issues and your problems, and you've come out of it on the other side. And you might be in the middle of a problem right now, but God is still with you. Yeah. And he's going to help you through your problem right now. But worrying won't help you at all. Do what you can do about your problem, but cast your care on him. There, years ago, I was completely wore out in ministry, and I was preaching a lot, and I was just like, and I read that scripture that where Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and that he's provided that for us. And I was praying, and in my prayer, I said, Lord, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but my burden is heavy, and my yoke is heavy, my burden is heavy too. Nothing's light about it. And then God spoke back to my heart just as clear as he said. He says, if your yoke is heavy and your burden is heavy, then it must not be my yoke or my burden that I've had for you. And it says, cast all, everybody say all. All your care on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. Not some of it. Not if you feel like it. Not if it's, you see, we justify our worrying. I don't know if God can handle this or not. I don't know. I mean, it's a challenge. There's an old hymn. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. The things of earth, stay with me, the things of earth will grow strangely dim, the things of earth in the light of his glory and grace. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt. A philosopher once said, my life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which has never happened. My life has been filled with much misfortune, but much of it has never happened. Can you relate to any of that? In Proverbs, one of my favorite verses is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's what happens when we start to worry, by the way, is when we're leaning on our own understanding and we're thinking that it all depends on me. And what we're actually doing, we're elevating ourselves up beyond where God wants us to be elevated to. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. I would submit to you that trust is the biggest challenge that God has for believers today. Because our nation is going through a lot of trouble. Our world is going through a lot of trouble. And the only place I would submit to you that where there's peace is when you look up, because God's the one that has all the answers. Several years back, all my life, I wanted to, like, jump out of an airplane and do a parachute out of an airplane. You know what I'm saying? It was, like, on my bucket list. So we had some friends of ours that was going to do that. And then Shiloh, my daughter, she wanted to do it. And so we're like, we're going. So we all went, and Darla went, but she didn't get an airplane. She wasn't going to do that. So we went through about 20 minutes of instruction. And you would think that, like, if something that's real important and that your life is, like, at stake here, that you would probably, it'd probably take 2 or 3 months. But no, it was about 20 minutes that they had to train us. And then what happened, they got a guy strapped to your back. And he's done this before. And I was okay. I was good. Until we got up in the airplane, and when they opened the gate, and I looked out there, and there was nothing out there but clouds. And everything inside of me said, don't do it. Don't do it. I have common sense. You with me? I mean, I feel like I'm a real common sense kind of a guy. And it doesn't make sense to walk out of the plane. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. In my mind, I was like, and I'm not a quitter. And I'm like, oh. So you know what I decided? I decided that I would have an out-of-body experience. That I would not listen to my, you crap. This is exactly what I'm thinking. I'm like, you're not even going to listen to yourself anymore. You're going to walk over to that gate, and you're going to jump out with that guy, and you're not even going to think about it, and your brain's going to be screaming to you, don't do this, but you're just not going to listen to yourself. So I did that. I went over there, and I was like, yeah. And they had to push me out, and I went out there, and I mean, when we started falling, I was screaming like a girl. I mean, I no offense, women, but I mean, I was so scared. And then they got little video people, and they want to come down and take your video, and like we're falling through the air, and this guy's like right here, and I'm like, get out of here! You don't mess me up. So scared. Then the parachute opens, and you would think, and I'm just like, this guy's right in back of me like this, and I'm trying to crawl up his legs, thinking I got to get some foundation here. I don't. This is just killing me. I'm scared. I couldn't stop. You know why I did it? You know why I did it? It wasn't. It was because I knew that guy had done it before. I knew that he was a professional and it wasn't a big deal to him. And I was like, I think it's going to be okay. And I at some point in time, I just had to trust this guy that I didn't even know to save my life. Some things we go through life and we don't really see how it can come out. We don't know the answer to our problem or our situation. But we know somebody that's been through it. We know somebody that was tempted in all manners of sin, just like we were tempted. Somebody that came down to earth and lived life here on this earth, but he succeeded in every area of life. He never ever sinned, but he knew what it was like to be tempted. And because God knows everything, yes, Because he is all powerful. Because he has the key to eternal life. Because he is the one who has overcome death. And if we really believe what we preach, what is there to worry about? Think about it. What is there to worry about? I'm one of them guys that, like, I'm always like, well, what's the worst that can happen? That's one of my deals. I'm like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, if I'm roping, what's the worst that can happen? Well, you lose, you don't win, you still got your horse, still got your wife. It's not a big deal. You lose. Sometimes you lose your thumb. But I mean, it's like in life, what's the worst that can happen? We die and go to heaven. I mean, if we really believe this stuff, yeah. I'm not talking about just believing. I'm talking about trusting. Yeah. If we really trust God, that it really is better over there than it is over here, what's the worst can happen? Well, we just die and go to heaven. God doesn't want us to worry anymore because it's not good for us physically. It's not good for us spiritually. And it's not good for us financially. It's just not good for us. So I would challenge you today to trust in the Lord with all your heart and to get an eternal perspective on all your problems and then let him direct your path. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I pray, God, that you would just give us your heart and your word. May we walk in the light. May your light and your word shine in us in every situation that we find ourselves in. And may we not worry about anything, but to pray about everything and be productive with our prayer life and to be faithful to you, O God. Give us your heart, O God, and help us with our faith. Help us not to be unbelieving people, but to believe you and to trust you and to acknowledge you in all of our ways. And we know, oh God, that if we do that, that you'll direct our path. We thank you for it. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you have, just haven't been living for him, I want you to know the Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. But he also said that if we confess our sin, that he'd be faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, if you've never accepted him, or maybe if you have, and you just haven't been living for him, simply raise your hand and say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up. We want to put a Bible in it right now. Anybody, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. Slip your hand up high. Yep, thank you. I'm going to put a Bible in it. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I'm tired of doing it on my own. I don't want to run my own life anymore. I want God. I want to put my trust and my faith in God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. This way, if you raise your hand, would you look up at me? Would you mind coming up? Let me pray with you. I'd be honored to pray with you. It's a beautiful day. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Tell me your name.
Liberty.
Liberty? Yes, sir. Oh, that's a wonderful name. I want to pray with you. Here's what the Bible says. It says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So can I pray with you?
Yes.
All right. Just repeat after me. Y'all help us pray. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. Invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you know this verse? I was thinking about that always, Brandon. It says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, sir.
It's in the Bible, I promise. But I don't know where it's at. But it says, It says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. And that's what's happened to you today. He's brought freedom to liberty. And just walk in it and let him have his way. And here's what I want to say is, we can't help you around here if you don't show up. Show up best you can, okay? Is that a deal? I love you. Thank you. Go visit that lady for just a second. Thank you. Would you stand with me, please? Here's what, while we was always going through all that, I know there's somebody in here that, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to anyway. You've been kind of stubborn about asking Jesus to come into your heart. But whenever we prayed that prayer with liberty, you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart. I want you to know that God heard you. I don't know who you are, but I know God heard you, and that God is honoring that prayer that you prayed. And he's got a place for you. I just feel like I need to tell you that God's got a place for you. Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody here, you raise your hand and say, preacher, that was me? Anybody? Raise your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I know you. It's all right. I just know that you're here. Let me ask you a question. How many of you say, preacher, I worry about things, and I know I shouldn't be worrying about them. And today, God's convicted me of worrying. I realize that it's not pleasing to God, and that it's not His best for me. And from now on, I'm going to really try my best to stop worrying. I'm going to pay closer attention to it. Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Let's all raise both hands and let's surrender to God. So Lord, we know that we transgress in this area of worrying, and we this morning confess to you that we want your strength and your power inside of us. So bless your church, I pray. Bless your people and help us, Lord. Not to worry about things that we don't have any control over, but to trust you in that, Lord. Lord, to act upon the things we need to act on, and to trust on the things that we need to trust with. And just help us to be faithful followers and to keep the eternal perspective in us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless y'all. We sure do love you. Got a prayer team up here if you need special prayer. We'd love to have you. God bless you.